B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
it. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour two of the program, Felger and Maz, presented by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. They bring you the second hour here, Super Bowl 53, Radio Row in Atlanta. I'm getting more and more interested in the game. I mean, I know that's master of the obvious kind of statement, but digging into the nitty-gritty. Again, the Bill Barnwell thing on ESPN, that thing, and I couldn't read all of it. I tried. I mean, I spent an hour on the thing. I still didn't get through it all. It's just...
I mean, it has areas to click so you can go to different to the story. It's so effing...
voluminous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, just...
It psyched me out.
Yeah.
Seriously, no, I haven't clicked on it yet.
It's just too much. But I dug into at least some of it, a lot of it. And at the end of the day, he's got the Pats. At the end of the day, he's got the Pats. But there's just a lot of interesting stuff in there. And so much of it comes down to coaching. And I'm fascinated by the matchup. I think there's a couple individuals that I think go beyond the coaching. And I'll give you one. Donald and Sue. So, I mean, that's two. But those two guys, even if you game plan them, they can ruin your day. So that's like a pure talent thing. It's not even scheme. It's not how they're used, you know. And again, I saw Bedard's piece where he had a clip of the Rams stopping the run last week in New Orleans. And they were doubling those guys, and they still stopped the run. And Sue, particularly, was really effective right in the middle. He played a nose tackle in a lot of positions, just two-gapping the center. Like, I don't remember Sue being a two-gapper.
He fought off the double. I saw the play you're talking about. I looked at it a couple of breaks ago. He fought off the double team, spun out of it, and made the tackle.
Like, he was the key to a lot of that stuff. And so...
And they were doubling in that set, if I remember right. The Rams had three guys on the defensive line, and the Saints doubled all three. And they couldn't run the ball.
So, those two guys, I think Sue and Donald, are so talented that they can blow up a scheme. And the other guy I look at is Goff, in a negative way. Right, I mean, McVay can scheme it up for him all you want. But if the game is really put on his shoulders, can he? I mean, I know you've been down on him for 2 weeks, Murray, but is Goff the guy? If it's on his shoulders, how do you feel about that if you're the Rams?
I don't know how you feel comfortable about it because, you know, if they're going to end up playing man or they're going to be grabby with these receivers, which I think, but again, you know, I'll keep the thing about my worry about pass interference to the side, he's going to have to throw into tight windows. And if he's feeling pressure, like, I don't know, I think that kid, without having daddy in his ear, once he has to improvise and make the plays on his own, I don't like his chances.
I mean, look, and in the case of Goff, that's where it becomes, see, like, I think Goff could have a huge day without the game being put on his shoulders. Does that make sense?
No, that's
yes.
No, total sense.
Yep.
That's exactly how it would work.
That's how he has a big day.
You got to set him up.
That they have the play action working, and he's got the boots, and he's got time, and he's got, you know, a lot of space in front of him, and it's there for him, and the guys are open. Sure, he can succeed in that set.
See, I think there were some windows he can throw to, but they have to be the right windows.
Yeah.
Like, it looks to me when he can step into the throw and throw over the middle of the field, he throws a good ball, and he's accurate. Once you start to expand it on him, forget it. I mean, at least in the games I've seen. And so now, if the game goes exclusively on him, drop back and survey the field, the Rams are porked. They are completely porked. He's not good enough. He's not ready.
Okay, so those are the thoughts on that. We continue with your phone calls here on Felger and Maserati.
Because of the way they scheme it, because of McVay, the offensive line, like, he'll be okay. But I just think he's a mistake or two waiting to happen, and that's ultimately what's going to bite him in the ass.
I think the Pats are going to go after him. I think they're going to go after him. Something for free, a giveaway coming up in a few minutes. Stick around. Here's Rick and Quincy. Go ahead, Rick. What do you got on the Rams?
Yeah, and I mean, now you guys are talking more like it. I listened to you earlier in the show. You're saying something about stopping Gurley. I'm saying to myself, you guys have been saying all week, you've got to have a passing game in the NFL because a running game can't beat you. I'm saying to myself, you know, make Gurley beat you. Never mind let Goff beat you. I mean, we've already had two bozos beat us in Foles and Manning. Now, we don't. Why take the risk with a guy named Goff? I mean, you know what I mean? Let Gurley get 200 yards. He's coming off of an injury. DJ Anderson's fat. I mean, who the hell cares? They're not going to be able to outrun Tom Brady throwing.
Okay, so let me just tell you about that. I'm worried about Gurley in the passing game. That's what I said earlier, that if I'm the Rams, I'm attacking the Patriots linebackers in coverage. That's how you expose those Patriots linebackers. If you let the Patriots linebackers blitz and get in the backfield, they've gotten pretty good at that. They really have. Van Noy, it was excellent last week. In coverage, So you got to make those guys cover. That's why Gurley's huge. Gurley's huge to make your Patriots linebackers cover. In terms of Gurley running for 200 yards, in and of itself, that wouldn't scare me. It's what it sets up. That sets up all the play action and the boot and all that stuff. That's what the Rams got going. So to me, it's taking away the play action pass.
I mean, I didn't realize until we went back and looked about a week ago how much of a running team they were. Really. I mean, what were they, top three in the league in rushing, the Rams, or something like that? They really do want to run first and then throw off of that.
Okay, we had Travis Kelce, the Chiefs tight end, on earlier. He said the Rams might have a little more talent. He wasn't even that definitive, but he said the Rams probably have more talent. Go ahead, play the cut, Jimmy.
The Rams, in terms of talent, have just a little bit more. The defensive, I mean, they're all playing unbelievable football. That's why they're in the Super Bowl right now. But I think in terms of talent, the Rams might just have a little bit more. I think the Patriots have more firepower on offense, which possibly could give them the push at the end of the day. But I think it's going to be ultimately come down to the Rams' defensive line and whether or not they can get to Brady.
Okay, so again, that's pretty standard analysis, but some of you don't like it. Here's Ty in Jamaica Plain. Go ahead, Ty.
Yes, I'm on?
Yes, you're on, Ty.
Yeah. So I do believe, as Jeff Words would say, he's a bozo. He was saying with you guys, and I know y'all want to jump on
me. I can't understand the word the guy's saying.
But I'm under the impression he's probably pissed off that Travis Kelce said they have a little bit more talent. What he said, and also said, maybe the Patriots have a little bit more on offense. It's a fair assessment. On defense, the Rams have more talent. They do. They have household names. They have people that you can go up to your mom and be like, hey, have you ever heard of Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh? She'd probably be like, oh, yeah, no, I've heard of those guys. Who do the Patriots have as a legitimate pass rusher? Trey Flowers? Maybe? Maybe? Dante Fowler, who's now on this team, was the third overall pick 5 years ago, 4 years ago. The cornerbacks, you know, and Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, even though it was a down year for Peters, it's okay to say they're here for a reason, people. Jesus. Come on.
I don't even think it's that much of a stretch.
It's not.
I look at it and say, what are you talking? Of course.
This is
they got two all-world guys on the defensive line. They got a corner that, honestly, if everything's right, he's the best corner in the game, Aqib Talib. If you're asking me, do I take Stephon Gilmore at his best or Aqib Talib at his best, it's Talib. I take Talib. And if you're a Patriots fan and you wouldn't, well, then again, you got Pat the Patriot underwear on. Like, what do you want me to tell you? So this is part of the reason the Rams, to me, are a potential problem, present a problem. Because they get some absolute monsters on defense that if they're playing to their capability are hard to have answers for.
Shame on me. I always forget. Everyone else is terrible. Don't say anything good about anyone else. It's you can't.
Yeah, shame on you, Murray. David and Hull, quickly.
Two quick points, Mike. Number one, you whining about the Patriots fans whining all week is literally the circle of life. I love it. Number two, this would be the best Super Bowl run out of all of them. This would be the first time that they beat three teams, if they win Sunday, that had better records than them in the regular season. And if you go back to the 2001, which is the closest run, that team, you could go back and make an argument that they should have won, that they were more talented than we thought at the time. Read an article the other day where a Vegas bookie said if you were to redo that 2001 line, the Rams would only be favored by three.
It's a good point,
David. About that. I want you guys to talk about that. Have a good day.
I agree with this completely.
Me too. This has been a great run by this team.
Yeah.
Great run. And if they win this one, great, great run. I mean, totally. No tomato cans on there. The Pats made them look like tomato cans, the Chargers, and we'll see what happens in this one.
Oh, this specific postseason run.
I thought he meant
the five-year period.
No,
this
specific run, tremendous.
It's up there, yeah.
Tremendous job by
them. They ran the gauntlet in this one. There was no, you know, they got a good team at home in the divisional round. They had to go on the road in the AFC. Now they're getting the team that had, you know, basically best record in the league for more than half the season.
And it's also accurate to say we didn't know how good that 0-1 team was. Now, remember, the 0-1 guys that were here, even the Ty Laws, Willie McGinnis, now guys who are going to be Hall of Famers, at that era, we sort of looked at those guys as sort of overpaid, underachieving kind of dogs. I mean, when Bill got here, McGinnis was kind of a dog.
Yep.
Didn't Ty Law get arrested for ecstasy or something like that,
too? Yeah, that was in 2000. He took his cousin's bag, he said. So, but, like, McGinnis was, you know, fourth overall pick, huge contract, always freaking hurt. And Ty Law, big player, the great Ty Law, but what did it ever really translate to? So I think we sort of looked at that Carroll group as a little bit of underachievers. And then, you know, they all put it together, obviously. So we just didn't know what they had. We didn't know what they had in 2001. And it's a good point. If you went back and, you know, re-handicapped that game, it's a lot closer than 14 points of what it was in that game.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Volin, Volin, Volin. The Boston Globe's Ben Volin. Pats fans tend to think he's a douche.
You're a troll.
Lions gum.
Wicked loser.
F*** you.
But he's got scoops here on Felger and Maz.
That's right. Time for some trolling, Volin.
It does not get better than that.
Let's bring him into the big, wide, world-class market guest chair here from Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. How you doing, Ben Volin of the Boston Globe? How you doing, kid?
I'm good. I'm no Deontay Wilder, but I'll try to pack a few punches today.
We may be talking to the heavyweight champion of the world coming up. Folks who listen to the show know we're big fans of the Bronze Bomber. He may be joining us here from the Radio Row, but that's later on in the show. Let's talk some football now with you, Ben. How much of a chance do you give the Rams in this ballgame?
I give them a chance. I think this is a shootout, a classic Patriots Super Bowl shootout, up and down the field. Maybe whoever has the ball last is going to win. I think the Patriots defense has been playing well, but I just give Jared Goff and Sean McVay a lot of credit. I don't like to me, the key to the game is the Patriots' ability to defend the run. I know you hate that. It's a passing league.
No, it's big this week.
The Rams, they spread you out with the three receivers, and they run the ball. And they were averaging over 5 yards a carry out of that personnel, the 11 personnel, you know, three wide receivers. The Patriots were one of the worst at defending run out of that personnel package, about 5 yards a carry in that sense.
So they were bad against that set.
Yes, against the 11 personnel, the Patriots were one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. So this is a big game for the, you know, the big nickel package and just the guys up front and their ability to get off their blocks.
So you're saying that the Pats against 11 go light as well, because if there's an extra receiver on the field, you bring in a nickel and you take off a corner and a good running
or
team.
Or a safety.
But either way, you go lighter. And a good physical running team can run against, like the Patriots are running against these like defensive fronts these last couple weeks.
Absolutely. The Rams do a lot of the same things. Their receivers and their tight ends are excellent blockers as well. Their whole offense is running out of that personnel and then play action pass. And they will do that to the death. They'll, you know, a million little paper cuts. And look, I still think the Patriots, I'm done picking against them. I've learned my lesson. But,
oh, don't give up the ship, Ben. Come on.
But
we got one more game to go. Hang in there.
Troll, well, just one more week.
I hate that mentality. That means you're a beaten man.
Yeah, right. So
what's the point of talking to you?
We got one more to go.
Fair enough. But, you know, I still think the Rams have an excellent offense. Their offensive line is just as good as what the Patriots have. And so, yeah, if they're ripping off 5-6 yard runs on first down, I could see the Patriots having trouble getting off the field.
So this is why you like the shootout, because you think that both teams are going to be able to run against basically sub-defense.
Absolutely. I think the Patriots, another ground-and-pound game. The Rams are this light defense. They play a lot of extra stees as linebackers. Give it, you know, bring in Jimmy Devlin and Dwayne Allen and just keep pounding the ball, and I think you'll see a lot of that. And I just think the Rams, look, and what they did in the NFC Championship game, on the road, in the Superdome, down 13-0 early with a young head coach and quarterback. That is very impressive what they've done. So this is going to be a close game. I don't see how the Rams' defense is going to stop Tom Brady and the offense at this point.
Okay, key guy for the Rams. Give me a couple.
Key guy for the Rams. You know, it's like their guys up front, like who's their linebacker? Like Barron and Littleton. Those two guys, too, in the run game. Can they handle Devlin? Can they bring down Sony Michel? And I think Kyle Van Noy, your guy's favorite person, is
what's up, buddy?
You know, his ability not to bite on these play-action fakes. The Rams did more under-center offense than any team in the league, more play-action passing. Kyle Van Noy, his ability to correctly diagnose the play, not bite too hard on the play-action, that's a guy I've got kind of in the hot seat on this one.
So, you know, I was looking up the other day, the Patriots in the no-huddle this year, we didn't see a lot of it.
No, that's not their offense right now. They're slow, methodical, ground and pound, you know, two tight ends, the fullback. This is also a team, look, they've jumped out.
You think
out.
There's any chance they would spring something like that in this game?
You know, they could spread you out. And I do think Chris Hogan is a sneaky play here. I don't like the Rams secondary all that much. And I think Edelman's in line for a big day, but I think Hogan could be as well. Yeah, they'll spread you out some. And James White with those shotgun runs, we saw it three or four times. against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. But ultimately, I think this is still a game where you want to establish the run early, and you need to jump ahead. The Patriots, in both their playoff wins, got all on top of their opponents in the first quarter of 14-0 or whatever it was. This is not an offense that I think you want to play from behind. You know, if you're one-dimensional and you have to go five wide on every play, that's when Donald and Sue and Dante Fowler, those guys, can get on top of you.
Ben Volen of the Boston Globe and the Big Y World-Class Market guest chair. What's your read on Todd Gurley?
I'm expecting him to be healthy and good and ready to go. I'm friends with that guy, Pro Football Doc, and I asked him that very question, what's up with his knee, and he said he should be fine. And that's what I want to see. I want to see a healthy Rams team. I don't want any excuses. I don't know if Gurley's going to get 30 carries. They might still split the load with C.J. Anderson, but I find them mostly interchangeable. Gurley's an unbelievable player, but
passing game
still pretty good with
C.J.
Anderson.
They're not interchangeable when it comes to throwing the ball.
Okay, but Todd Gurley is really only a check down guy and like a screen pass guy.
They don't run stuff for him?
Not too many plays. It's mostly play action pass and then like a screen or a quick check down or something. He's not lining up, you know, split wide and running routes like James White does. That's not really Gurley's game.
I'll tell you what,
I would.
Yeah, if I'm the Rams, I don't care. I'll take my chances, get him in space, and see if he breaks a tackle. And
yeah, but him playing out wide, that's not where he's comfortable. He's comfortable coming out.
No, I'm not talking about playing him out wide. I'm saying take the checkdowns. Fine. He's a guy who can break a tackle and get away from somebody or outrun someone, assuming health. And so, but you believe he is or has been injured and he's going to be healthy for
the game? Yes, he clearly was not himself in that NFC Championship game.
And that was an injury that wasn't just being a, you know, brain fart.
No, I think it's his MCL, right? He's been dealing with a knee injury.
I've heard different things. A lot of people think there's nothing. He's totally fine.
Or,
and that the moment was too big for him. I mean, if there's a knee injury, how do you account for the drop passes?
I don't even frankly remember the drop pass. No,
he caused one interception, dropped another one.
Right, early in the game. Yeah. It bounced off his hand. Yeah, you're right. That's
and
a
they benched him.
I think Gurley's going to be ready to go for this one. Just that, you know, you have to expect the other team's best. And look, and to me, Gurley is still the guy that you focus on. I think you bring out the Marshall Faulk game plan. You hit Gurley early and often. You put Van Noy on him. You chip him, you know, every time out of the backfield. Make Todd Gurley's life miserable.
Okay, Ben Volen again, Boston Globe. I got to write down the questions when I had them for you. What was the freaking question? You've been around the Patriots all season long. Because I'm starting to hear this from a lot of guys who've covered the team all year. That a lot of people around the Patriots think they're going to blow them out. That the Pats are feeling it, you know, that they've got this. And, you know, you could sense it a little bit through the television, which is my perspective, but this edge and the chip on their shoulder, you heard it from Brady coming off the field against the Chargers. No one thinks they're going to win. You know, as soon as you heard that, it's like, oh, God. You know, they're doing this thing. But they have that going. They're playing well. They've got momentum. And they're rolling, and that's it. And that's what a lot of people around the team think. Do you feel the same thing?
I do not, because I actually witnessed last year's game where no one gave the Eagles a chance, and, well, Nick Foles and Doug Peterson will never beat them, and they came and blew the doors off of them. And let's not forget, the Patriots were D4'd 6 inches offsides away from not being in this game and losing 28-24.
Someone should mention that. I'm joking. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, I'm sure once or twice.
Yes, I think I mentioned it once or twice.
Brought that up,
weeks,
and probably also that they only are here because they want a coin.
There was a coin flip involved too, but yeah, go ahead.
However, so yes, they're playing great, but they were this far away from not being here, and the Rams are a very good team, and I think people are just underestimating them. Number two offense in the league, a defense that's playing, you know, not great, but a lot better. They shut down the Saints on the road in the Superdome, so. I think that's just a little bit of, you know, pro-Patriot homerism in play. And I think the Patriots will win, but it's not going to be a blowout.
Do you think the Patriots take Ndamukong Suh seriously? In other words, when he was with Miami, he was cashing the checks, half-assing it, playing like a bum. Now it feels like he is engaged. Do you think they take him seriously?
I think they take him seriously, but if I had to bet on anything in the Super Bowl, it was that Donald and Suh will not have an impact on this game. They will take those guys out. Aaron Donald's going to get double-teamed on every run play. They're going to triple-team him. When they only rush three, the Rams, the Patriots are going to take care of Donald. Donald and Sue are good players. Donald's fantastic, but Bill Belichick will not let them wreck the game.
So I agree that they're not going to let Donald ruin the game. Sue, he can't double everybody every play. But I agree in the passing game, okay? They're not going to let those guys ruin Brady's day. In the run game? Those two have been standing up in the last 2 weeks against great running teams that have doubled them and accounted for them, and they've still stood up. And, you know, again, I watched Bedard's clip of all the plays that he put together, Sue was just two-gapping, like grinding it out, two-gapping, which I don't remember him doing much of.
Does that get your blood boiling, too, watching a little two-gap up front in the defensive
you know what?
Tackle?
It got me a little excited. I felt like taking my shirt off like Bedard and rubbing myself with Crisco and belly-bumping him.
Sue has had Aaron Donald playing next to him all season. He's had a very mediocre season.
I know, and he's turned it on the last couple weeks.
What, so he's able to just kind of turn it on, flip the switch whenever he wants to? Maybe.
I think it's a veteran guy who wanted to check the first time and got it. Now he's in playoff games.
Oh, I'm not guaranteeing what he's going to do. I can't predict the future. I'm just telling you what the last couple weeks he showed up.
Sure.
He showed up big time.
I'm telling you, I think he turned it on.
And that's why you won't just see, Shaq Mason and David. You're going to see, the wham blocks. You're going to see a lot of Devlin and Gronk coming across the formation, pulling guards, trap plays, all that fun stuff. Peyton Manning did a breakdown on his ESPN show of the AFC Championship game. It was all trap and wham blocks and guys coming at you from angles. And so you'll see a lot of that in the Super Bowl.
Just real quick, Ben, who should get Brandon Cooks?
Anyone, you, me, doesn't. Okay. They are not.
So you think
Brandon
he's
Cooks.
Soft like I do?
Absolutely, 100%. Right. They are not worried about Brandon Cooks.
All right, who does Tlaib get?
Tlaib, probably not Edelman. That's a bad matchup for him. So maybe they just put Tlaib on Hogan, or maybe they just don't match up. Maybe they just stick to sides. I think they.
That's
do that
a waste.
A lot too.
I mean, you can put that Jabroni Coleman Roby Nickel whatever on Edelman.
I don't think Tlaib is a dominant number one quarterback anymore either. I think you're thinking of 2014 Aqib Tlaib.
I think he's pretty good.
He's good, but I think he's a terrible matchup for Edelman. He's big and physical, and Edelman's short and quick, so I would not put Tlaib on Edelman.
I would. I would not waste.
Well, let's throw down. Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, who else? Who's he going to cover? Philip Dorsett? Like, that's a waste.
Again, that's a waste. That's a waste.
Or you play zone.
All right, Ben, we got to go. Thanks for coming by. Here's a date for Murray. Then back to your calls. One open line at 617-779-0985. I promise to you right after this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You can't fool the great quarterbacks anyway. You have to outplay them. They're really efficient in what they do. I mean, they got in the playoffs, they got the leading quarterback, the leading receiver, and the leading running back in the playoffs so far. So they've been tremendously efficient. They've got great Super Bowl experience, a quarterback who may want to, certainly the greatest playoff quarterback in history. He's got four MVPs. So it's a tremendous challenge to play this team, this offensive team that they have, and their whole team, but especially their offense.
Wade Phillips again on radio. That was a good comment. You can't fool the great quarterbacks. I mean, it's a good comment because it's really true.
But does that mean you shouldn't try?
Oh, no, you have to try. You can't give Brady the answers to the test on every play. Take away the answers on half the plays, and maybe you have a chance, right? So you still have to try, okay? But, is Wade Phillips going to throw something at Brady that he hasn't seen before?
I doubt it.
So, but again, that doesn't mean you can't confuse them and you can't slow them down a little bit.
I mean, you got to still try.
You've got to try. Have to try.
I mean, I hear that comment. I hear him say, you have to do it with talent and execution or whatever word he used. I heard that and said, uh-oh. Like, no, you got to try to mix it up a little too. You got to at least make him use some time deciphering. If you just let him go up and identify it right away, you're porked. You're screwed. You at least make him spend 5 seconds processing it. Like, and pinch him that way, even if it's just a little. So, I don't know. The defensive approaches in this game to me are going to be huge on both sides.
Okay, as promised, right back to your phones. John in North Attleboro joins us next. This hour of the program is brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
First of all, Tony, I want to get this out, that for the past 3 or 4 weeks, you were saying we couldn't beat Kansas City, now we can't beat L.A.
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything about L.A.
You didn't pick us against Kansas City.
No. That part you're right, but I haven't picked the Rams to beat the Patriots.
Right,
you're making
you
that part
the
up.
To beat the Rams.
Say it again.
I just wanted to bring one thing up. Say if the Rams were in a position to play the LA, you know, LA, how much would the Kansas City be favored over them?
What would the KC LA Rams line be? It would be Rams plus, minus two.
I was going to say about even. Pretty close.
Well, so this is what happened. The generic NFC versus AFC, which you could bet before the conference title games, had the NFC minus two or minus one. You know, one of those. They were a slight favorite. And as Brandon Lang told us, that it was they were expecting Saints Chiefs. And so the Saints would have. But anyway, I don't know what that means, Rams Chiefs. But either way, I think the NFC has been a favorite over the AFC pretty much the whole season.
I mean, I look at it.
You have to factor in the Rams beat them in the regular season.
In L.A. by three, which gives you the home field.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, it's even. It's a pretty close to even game. I'd say they're pretty comparable teams. Like, I don't think that, you know, and honestly, I'd say the same thing about Patriots-Saints. All those final four teams were pretty close.
Maz hasn't picked the game yet, but he has said a few nice things about the Rams, which I know you folks, some of you folks just... You don't like
that. And I've also said that Jared Goff isn't ready for this game, but nobody hears that.
No. You've said a few things nice about the Rams, Maz.
I know, heaven forbid.
Shame on you.
Damn.
But let's focus all of our time on that, okay? Let's focus all of our time on that. You said, Jeff and Haverhill. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, something I want to talk about is Sean McVay comes from Mike Shanahan's coaching tree, and Mike Shanahan has always had good success against Bill Belichick. Look at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Kyle Shanahan, that team jumped out in front of New England, obviously. So this is something I haven't heard much talk about.
No, I think it's true. I think that scheme, and I said it before, I think McVay's scheme is going to have something for you, and it's legit. Now, I don't know what McVay's going to do inside of the 60 minutes when it comes time to adjust and play a 60-minute game and control the clock and manage the timeouts and all those game decisions. That's when we're going to find out about Sean McVay in-game. His scheme? He's going to have a good scheme. He's going to get guys open.
See, I do. And not only open, I worry about the Patriots' ability to stop the run in this game. I do. I'm sorry. They had trouble with it all year long. This offense might spread them out a little more. And if there are more receivers on the field, as Volen was saying, Ben Volen of the Globe, you may see more safeties, fewer linebackers, a lighter Patriots defense. I don't believe in the Patriots' ability to stop the run. I don't. So, you know, to me, I look at it and say the reason they were able to take it out in the postseason is because they got leads.
Mike,
that's why.
Mike and Bill Ricker, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Hi. I just had a question for Maz. I know he's pretty critical of Sony Michel throughout the regular season. I just wanted to know if, you know, that view has changed after the last two games with the 242 yards and five touchdowns, and if you guys think that the running game success can keep going into the Rams game.
Okay. So he's had a good postseason. There's no disputing that. I do find it interesting that he really wasn't on the field much at the end of the AFC Championship game. So that's either because of an injury, which we don't know about, which means I was right that he wasn't going to make it through the playoffs without getting hurt. So that's either that or
good job,
they thought there was a better option in Rex Burkhead or someone else back there. So look, overall, Michelle's been good. If the game's on the line, who's going to be on the field? James White. Or Burkhead, apparently,
yeah.
Given what we saw in the AFC Championship game. And as far as the Patriots' ability to run the ball in this game, I have my doubts. I believe in that and those two guys in the middle of that defensive line for the Rams. Those guys are freaks. They are absolute freaks. And the Patriots are going to need four guys to block those two. So that means what? They're going to play 7-on-9 after that and take away Brady? So that's 6-on-9? Like... You know, now, I don't know, maybe they can. Maybe they can pull it off that way. But those two guys are both going to require double teams.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Will you retire after Sunday's game?
Oh, I'm, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
You're not thinking about that right now?
No, I'm thinking all how to get myself to go full go in the game. Just working on that.
All right, that was Gronk with Michael Irvin the other day. And he asked the question pretty much the same way here the entire time about retirement. He doesn't know, and he says he's going to take those 2 weeks after the game to think about it, and that's sort of been the standard response, except there was a question and answer with Gronkowski yesterday about how he feels, and he went on a longer answer that really is, you know,
unusually long.
Yes, and unusually revealing, you know, in those podium settings here at the Super Bowl, where he really sort of gave you a really good, honest answer. And so, Jimmy, why don't you just play that, please?
The season's, you know, grind, so it's up and down. I mean, I'm not going to lie and sit here and say every week is the best. Not at all. I mean, you go up, you go down. You can take some serious hits. I mean, to tell you the truth, just try imagine getting hit all the time and trying to be where you want to be every day in life. It's tough. It's difficult. I mean, to take hits to the thigh, take hits to your head, abusing your body isn't what your brain wants. So it can... If when your body's abused, it can bring down your mood. You got to be able to deal with that, too, throughout the season. You got to be able to deal with that going into games. And no one realizes that. And no one and everyone expects us players to be wide awake every single day. And it's like, yo, like, I just took 50 hits to my head. Or, like, you're not to my head, but I'm saying I just took 50 collisions. And then, like, the next day, everyone wants you to be up. They want practice full speed. Next week, they want the game to be full speed. But they don't understand sometimes what players are going through with their bodies, with their minds. And that's why I would say you see a shift in players in games where people are down the whole game. And then you see all of a sudden next week, it's like, how did this team just go from one switch to the other?
Okay. He really gave you a lot there.
Well,
yes.
Further proof that him acting like a moron is just that. It's an act. He's a lot smarter than a lot of us give him credit for.
That was a pretty thoughtful answer, but does that sound like a guy who's going to be playing for a long time?
No. Look, and I think he's telling you a lot there. Like, you know, people expect you to come up and be up in the happy press conferences and, geez, what's wrong with Gronk? I'm hurting. That's what's wrong.
Well, I think
I'm banged up. That's what's wrong. I'm a human being. I know you guys think I'm a robot, but I'm not. So I think to me, don't look now, but is he growing up? I mean, is that Gronk saying, hey, look, you know, I can't do this my whole life. I can't go out there and get the crap kicked out of me every week and then show up and, you know, run people over again the next day. What do you think I am?
I'm not going to lie and sit here and say every week is the best. Not at all. You go up, you go down, you take some serious hits. To tell you the truth, just trying to imagine getting hit all the time and trying to be where you want to be every day in life, it's tough. It's difficult.
And, you know, he said there's something to it, and I know what he meant. He meant on a day-to-day basis, you know, it affects your mood. You show up for practice, and you're hurting, so you're not really out. You don't have the same energy, and then the game comes, and you're not recovered. How come Gronk looks like he doesn't have energy on the field? And that's what he's saying. But when I heard it the first time, I thought, I wonder if he's had problems with, like, you know, as a result of headshots.
Yeah, depression.
Depression,
of course.
Yes. It crossed my mind. And I said, if that's going on, like, none of us ever talk about that. It never comes up.
Abusing your body isn't what your brain wants. When your body is abused, it can bring down your mood. You've got to be able to deal with that, too, throughout the season. You've got to be able to deal with that in the games.
What about the line about practicing at full speed? I mean, that to me is, maybe you can look at that as kind of a subtle shot at Belichick, and maybe there's some days he's come in and said, hey, you know, like, I'm hurting. I've taken a beating in this prior game. Can I go easy? No.
Just life in the NFL. No one realizes that, and everyone expects us players to be wide awake every single day. And it's like, yo, I just took 50 hits. I just took 50 collisions. And then it's like it's the next day. Everyone wants you to be up. They want practice full speed. Next week, they want the game full speed, but they don't understand. Like, that's some pretty deep stuff from the fella.
No, I'm telling you, again, you hear it and you say, well, you know, there's maturity in that comment. And I just wonder, you know, Gronk gets the worst of it, too. Because in games like the last two, he's in there on the offensive line, fighting with the defensive lineman, knocking heads right at the snap, like the whole nine yards. And then he's running up the seam and someone's wiping out his knees. So, like, he's getting hit all over the place. You know, he plays the one position where you're as vulnerable as a receiver and then as engaged as an offensive lineman. You're doing that every single play, one or the other. Like, and you're just going to get the crap kicked out of you.
again, for his well-being, I hope like there hasn't been a depression thing going on. I read that comment and went, oh, geez, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Like, if this guy's waking up on Monday and he needs the room dark and can't get out of bed, like, you know, then that's...
Or even if it's just a downtick from his normal happy-go-lucky human golden retriever, you know,
right.
thing that he has going on, if he's been feeling a little bit down, I'm sure he's like, man, it's got to have something to do. There's a cause and effect here. I've taken a beating. He's had 4 back surgeries. You know, and I'm sure, look, his family is obviously very influential in his life, too. I'm sure he's had those conversations with him. They're like, look, you've made enough money. You can do this side stuff now, WWE, whatever. Get the hell out.
See, and ultimately, I think that's what he means is, you know, you show up on Monday, you're sore. Like, if you were asking me, do I think it's depression? My guess is probably not, but I don't think you can rule it out.
Okay.
Because he says, you know, you got to get up and you can't get up for the game.
Okay, you want to weigh in on the Gronkowski stuff? Of course you can. That continues this week as well. Back to the phones. Our buddy Seth is in Taunton. Hi, Seth.
Hey, guys. How's it going? So my thought about Sony Michel for this game is that I hate Rex Burkhead. And if I see Rex Burkhead on the field during the last 5 minutes of the game, I'm going to puke. So I know he could catch the ball in college, and I know that they've been very, very predictable with him on the field as a runner whenever he's on the field. I think to put Donald and Sue and stuff on their heels a little bit, they should really try to integrate him in as a pass catcher.
Okay, so let me stop you. Can you start, if you're not doing it all season long, can you start throwing to Sony Michel in this game?
No, I doubt it.
I wouldn't.
I mean, they
threw to him a few times in Kansas City.
Yeah, they were checkdowns. They weren't real. I mean, but no, you're right. They did. They did. But, I mean, as a game plan tactic.
I doubt it. Again, and you know, look, when Burkhead's out there, say what you want. At least there is a versatility element. It could be a run or a throw. So we go back to the whole Rams offense, and we say that one of the things that's difficult about them is they're in the same set all the time, same personnel, and they could do either. Well, you have that with Burkhead, you don't with Michel. He played 34 snaps in the AFC Championship game and got 29 rushes.
Michel.
Yes.
Wow.
34 snaps, 29 rushes. I mean, that's insane.
That is. And that's not even that hard. That's pretty easy to diagnose now if you're the defense. Burkhead, to me, you know how I feel. I mean, Michel's been good. He's been good. I don't think he's been special out of this world. What's the real gap between Michel and Burkhead? There is one. Michel's better. But I don't know. The coaches don't think it's really that much because in overtime, when it came time to win the game, they gave it to Burkhead. So I don't know. I mean, that's how do they feel about it? Sean in Rhode Island on overtime. Yes, Sean. Okay, Sean, you can call us back. You know the number. Troy in Dorchester joins us next. Hi, Troy.
How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
So I'm just wondering, after hearing what Wade Phillips said, do you think that the Rams are just going to go out there and not really scheme, but just say we're bigger, stronger, faster, we're better, we're more talented, we're just going to beat these guys just off of our ego alone? I'm thinking that that's going to happen now after hearing what he said.
Okay, well, I think if they want to motivate themselves, they got a lot of material. If they want to play it like you guys play it and the Patriots play it, oh, my God. You know, the world thinks they're going to lose. 80% of the money bet on this game has gone to the Patriots. 80%. And, you know, how much do we have to hear about Brady and Belichick and you old fart Wade Phillips? You've run the same defense for 30, 40 years. You're not smart enough to change like Bill is. And Goff, you know, no one gives you a chance. Like, they could play that card all week long. I don't know if they're smart enough to do it or have it in them to do it, but it's there if they want it.
Yeah, it feels to me like they are, you know, I think McVay is smart enough where he knows he can't just keep everything the same and beat Bill Belichick. So to me, they're gonna mix some stuff up. They're going to change some stuff. And again, now on the defensive side of the ball, will they show up and say, we think our talent's good enough to beat you up? Maybe. I mean, again, I rule out nothing with Phillips. He might be right. I mean, he might be right. If Donald and Sue play to their ceilings, the Patriots offensive line is going to have a hard day.
We continue with your thoughts. No commercials here. It's a 90-second update. There is a pending major trade in the National Basketball Association. I don't know if it's official, but it's being reported widely. A major move has just been made as the NBA trade deadline a week from today has already started. So Jim Murray will give you the very latest on that. Again, no commercials. We'll come back and replay some Travis Kelce comments that have a lot of people with their panties in a bunch that he was on our show earlier, and we'll replay that stuff coming up right after the update. Again, no commercials.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.